Hi there. I'm Jean Godfrey June, and this is Megan O'Neill.
And we're the beauty editors at Goop.
And you're listening to Goop's podcast series, The Beauty Closet, where we talk about all things beauty. Clean, non-toxic beauty, skincare, hair care, body care, self-care, and the way we think about beauty both as individuals and in the wider culture. So Megan, I am so excited about our guest today, and I know you are too.
I'm like trembling. I'm so excited.
You are the ultimate mega fan. Norma Kamali mega fan, acolyte. Like, I feel like half your wardrobe.
Half my wardrobe is her. All my wedding outfits that I wear to weddings.
Yeah.
And her wellness cafe. That's been there for before it was cool.
I mean, when I got to New York, I remember her store and like that she had a golden flag like waving slowly outside. I mean, she's the sign of the ultimate fashion, like does her own thing.
Yeah.
And that she's always been, you know, this wellness person before any of us even thought of wellness.
Yeah.
She was doing it. She's just so smart and so alive.
And looks so great.
Oh my gosh. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Let's get to it. Hi, Norma Kamali. We're so excited to be talking to you.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. And okay, so you are just one of the most successful designers of all time. It's amazing. You did that Farrah Fawcett red bathing suit and that iconic picture. You design things for, you know, Rihanna wears your things, Grace Jones,
just Bianca Jagger.
Bianca Jagger. It's nuts. But how have you managed to not bend to trends? Like, your designs are so you and have been consistently. How do you do that?
Well, thank you for the too many compliments. Not worthy, but it was nice to hear. I made a vow when I started that I wanted to lead a creative life. And in order to lead a creative life, it meant that I probably wouldn't be able to have partners or be owned by somebody. So it meant that I had to figure out somehow, some way, to be the owner of my company so that nobody could tell me what I had to do and what I should do.
Make more of these and less of those.
And so I've always been able to do whatever I want. So I didn't have to follow a trend. I didn't have to copy whatever the latest thing was. I've just done whatever I felt was a creative expression. But since I was the sole owner, I had to pay the rent too.
Right.
So it was really good because it taught me how to balance art and commerce and not feel beholden to giving up what I felt was a direction that I wanted to go in.
Well, you are 74.
I am.
And I'm sure every day, probably multiple times a day, someone gives you the compliment that you don't look your age. And as I recall, you don't exactly blush and say thank you when someone says that. Can you tell me about what's your answer to that?
Well, it first of all, I don't think that you don't look your age is a compliment. I think that it is just an inappropriate way to give a compliment. If you ask anybody now how old they are, they look younger than the number you had originally thought of.
What your reference point was.
So for whatever it is, whether it's me at 74, somebody else at 50 or 40 or 30, we all look different than the chronological number that we have all associated with an age. So when you think of 74, even in my mind, that number, oh my God, some grandmother with, you know, I don't know, a bun and some other thing going on. But the truth is, that's not true. It is different. It's changing more and more. And my thought is that we all have to tell our ages, be open. I ask every woman now, and it's so disarming because I'm trying to, like, break this. So I'll ask, hi, how are you? And talk a little bit. How old are you? And it's like, 46.
Let me see.
Well, how did that take so long? It's just because we're so afraid of being aged out.
Yeah.
That we don't, like, we can get away with being younger. And even I didn't say my age for a long time. And I thought, this is the stupidest thing. We have to do that.
Well, it's even as you were speaking, when you were saying, I'm 74, and then you said about the image that you have in your head, I was looking at you and I'm replaced by this gorgeous image. I'm like, that's what 74 is. Like saying your age, like you say,
it becomes what that is,
and it changes what's in somebody's head.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just getting in touch with reality, which is, like, why not? And why not have it be like, it's this weird miracle, you know, that I'm still me and, you know.
But also terribly, I completely agree with you, but I've totally said it.
I was saying it until I heard her take on it.
I said it until you told me the story.
But it's really, think about it, also, like aging gracefully. No, we're not succumbing. We're not aging gracefully. We're aging with power. We're aging with so much more right now. I mean, I have all of this information and I do everything I can to stay fit and healthy and do what I can with what I eat and sleep.
Which we're going to grill you about.
But that's an incredible force. I'm not insecure. I know. I've seen every fashion trend. I've seen 100 wellness trends. Mm-hmm. I've seen so much. So when I see something that's special, I know that that's special because I haven't seen anything like that before. There's a reference to having a certain age that gives you a knowledge that is not just through education, but simple life experience.
Yes, having done it.
It's like, okay, this jerk is going to try to screw me with some stupid deal here. And I sit, let them talk, and then I'm very kind in my reply, but I don't get screwed. I'm like, I'm at another level. And when I was your age and when I was younger, that was my thing. Oh, my God, you know, do I know enough not to get screwed?
How can I tell?
And in the end, you end up having to go through that life experience. So I'm not having to do that anymore.
Right.
Yes, some new things I might try in another area, but there's a sense of power in that you can't trade for anything else. So to be my age and feel good about being my age is really something I want to share with as many people as possible. And when I say I met my soulmate at 65, all of a sudden I get everybody's attention. Like, oh, you mean just because I didn't meet the man of my dreams when I was 30? It's not over for me? Just
we were
chill.
Talking to a 23-year-old today who was like, it's over for me.
It's over for you. But it's true. There are certain markers where you may feel like, oh, no, am I ever going to meet that person? Is it... Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Just chill and stop measuring yourself against everybody else. It's just not going to be there. So I didn't think I was going to meet my soulmate ever. I thought, that's other people, and I'm fine. I have great friends. I've learned to be confident with guys so that they know I don't want to marry them, that this is not what this is about, and it changes the whole dynamic, and it was okay. It was all working, and I was good. And then all of a sudden, holy crap.
Oh, that's so great.
65. Who the hell would have thought?
Blindsided.
And didn't your ex-boyfriend introduce
you? Yes, he did.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I just love that story. It's so good.
Yeah, I mean, Ian Schrager is, like, my closest friend.
I love that you're friends. I feel like that is impressive.
Well, we are. We went through a lot of stuff together, and he's a terrific guy. And I never in a million years thought Ian is going to introduce me to my soulmate. What the hell does he know about? Like, is he going to know?
Yeah.
And there he was. He did it. So, good friend.
Good friend. You just never know.
No. Nope.
You do not know.
Never.
Now, you're originally from New York City.
I am.
And your mom was into health and juicing and supplements. Did that, I must have helped with sort of your orientation towards wellness, but also do you think like the combination of New York and like way before wellness was wellness?
She was a freak.
Yeah. Did it set you up for like being this incredibly successful businesswoman and being creative, as you've said, you know?
Well, you know, when you're younger, you rebel. So we lived in an apartment that was as big as this table, and my bedroom was right next to the kitchen, and that meant my bed was like about 3 feet away from the kitchen, and there was a juicer that was like a car engine.
Oh my God.
It was this big old, this is the 50s, 60s, yeah. Right? Big old metal thing. And she would wake up early, and you would hear,
oh, my God.
And the house would shake, and I was like, oh, my God, why do I have this mother? Everybody else has a normal mother. Why is this my mother? And I would always, like, Mom, my friends are coming over. You have, like, 9 million supplements over there, and she would have... They say, and she'd have all these books, that this is this. And I'm like, can we put them away?
Oh, my
like,
God.
No, we're not.
This was my mom, too, with her Champion juicer that right. rattled the whole yeah. everything.
Your mom had a juicer, too. Yeah. My mom did not have a juicer.
Vibrate the house. But wow. in the 50s.
Really loud.
It was really.
Yeah.
She was.
It would wake you up in the morning, right?
Yeah. Like, but she was very different from yeah. everyone else. And I don't know why she was, and I have no idea
yeah.
what that interest was. But
she's American?
She was, yeah, Lebanese,
okay.
but not born here. But she was Lebanese, and she had an incredible talent to do whatever she wanted, and she was a great influence. And now every once in a while I'll look in the mirror or pass a glass and I think, oh my God, I even look like her. Like, you know, I see her and I'm like, oh my God,
it that's
really
such a funny thing.
You rebel and then,
and then you become.
Yeah, so that's what happens. You pick your parents. I'm positive of it.
How in your you were into wellness, I feel like before anyone. Like you knew who Andrew Weil was.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
were doing workshops. You know, in your store, you had the wellness cafe
right.
before there was wellness. How did you get going on that journey?
Like after Studio 54 and all of that stuff, all of a sudden there was this disease, this thing that was happening. And in my world, my two closest friends, one born June 26th, the other June 28th, and my birthday is June 27th.
Oh.
And we were like this, stuck like glue together. And they both died.
Ugh.
And we did everything together. And even as I say it, whenever I say it, I feel the pain of hearing somebody say they have AIDS and that they're, or they just would say they were sick.
Right. Yeah.
And that would mean there would be a time where you wouldn't see them anymore, and that would be it. Because there was no cure. There
right.
was nobody knew what to do, but we knew it was the immune system.
Yeah.
And so because I have to do something, like I have to make solutions or find solutions for me, I started to research, which meant go to the public library because you're not going to Google anything, right?
Yeah.
So I started to research about the immune system. What do you do? Then I learned that there were different types of proactive approaches to health and started to find out who those people were and really did research. And I started to travel to the West Coast, to Arizona, New Mexico, meet people. And then when I met Andrew Weil, Andy had started to gather really fascinating people like Michael Pollan, who hadn't even written a book yet.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, and can you imagine hearing this guy speak and listening to this stuff?
Those ideas, yeah.
And I was like, what is happening with food?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I would come back to New York and start to have a conversation with a friend, and they would look at me like, you know, you're so weird.
Yeah, you're
like,
completely nuts.
Don't even
But what were you saying? Were you carbs are inflammatory?
No, I was telling them about, first of all, things that Michael Pollan was saying about farming and the industrial way, you know, chickens falling over right. with hormones yeah. and all of this stuff. And they would just look at me, and then I thought, you know, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to keep doing this. And I found I was so fascinated by it that I started to go to these integrative courses that Andy would have for doctors. So here's like all this science and, you know, what do I know about it? I'm like doing dresses, mm-hmm. but I'm taking my notes, and I have boxes full of notes that I took from then. And I really loved every minute of it. But I couldn't implement it beyond my own personal use for quite some time, because even when I opened the Wellness Cafe, there weren't people talking about anything like this. But when I did, it was like out of the woodwork, this very knowledgeable group of people found me. Mm-hmm. And I started to do talks, and we had people come and speak, and we would have teas. We would have class, different type of exercise every day of the week at 6 o'clock. And then after, we would have teas and talk and see films, new films. And everybody was super knowledgeable. So it was very high level and very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, and your store is still, and your concept is still unique. I mean, other people are following. We are something like that. But you when did you wake up to clean beauty? Because you'd been selling clean products too.
Well, in 95, I turned 50, and before 95 and 93, I had a license agreement with Warner Cosmetics. And I didn't want to wear makeup anymore because I just felt it looked like I was hiding something. I decided that that's what I wanted to do, and I did it, and it was out of sea algae, and it was really quite good.
In 95.
In 93. But it was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And the cafe basically was products that would boost your immune system as an alternative to maybe something you were using, like a toothpaste or a mouthwash. I found alternative products that would support your immune system and do the same job. So that's what was happening then. And that's where I really worked very hard at trying to message about simple ingredients that are timeless. They're around for a long time. And they work, and they're not going to hurt you. They're safe, and they're
good. Like the olive oil, oil that I love.
Olive oil in or out. The more information I read about aging and longevity, and I think, well, I'm so glad I keep reading that olive oil consumption. Yeah. The Mediterranean diet is good, but the reality is, out of all of the ingredients, if you just had the olive oil, you would be great. So I am a big believer in putting olive oil on everything. The Yankees were playing the World Series, and I was a big Yankee fan. So I'm at the game, and I'm with Ian and another friend. And so there's a whole box of guys next to me on the other side.
Yeah.
And one guy is from Barcelona, younger, and he starts talking to me. And I said, what are you doing here at a Yankee game? And he said, well, I want to bring the best olive oils in the world to the States. And
you're
said,
like,
olive oil?
You're like, that's me.
It was like a match made in heaven. Oh, so he said to me, in March, I'm going to start searching for the best olive oils. And I said, oh, that's so exciting. And he said, why don't you come with me? Now, I am the least spontaneous person in the world. I have a company. I have deadlines. So I said, oh, yeah, okay. And so he calls me in March. My collection is finished. I say, okay, come in.
Whoa.
So what did we do? We went to every orchard. We went to searching for the best olive oils. Spain, France, all through the coast.
Wow.
So I know the best places to get olive oil. And they're friends of mine. I just visited a friend in the south of France who's doing her harvesting as we speak. And a harvest can be a good one or a bad one depending on the weather. So every harvest can nuance.
Right.
In terms of its nutritional as well as its taste?
Everything.
Oh.
Everything.
Oh,
because
I
if
never
it's
thought
too
about
much
that.
Rain, too much sun, too much, you know, depending on if you're on the shady side of the hill,
yeah,
and getting not enough sun. So
wow,
it's very, very, but it is a magical part of the world. Olive orchards are just so spiritual and moving. And the benefits of olive oil are really extraordinary, especially
yeah,
for the moisture of your skin.
Skin.
Yeah.
And olive oil is great for sex. That's
ooh,
all I can
for
say.
For sex?
Hello.
So tell us your new beauty line.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear all about it, and I'm sure it has some olive oil in it.
It does. Well, it's just a more evolved version from the Wellness Cafe
mm-hmm,
one, and it's four products.
They're
that
gorgeous.
Do the job. Again, simple ingredients. So it's clean, smooth, soft glow. And soft is the moisturizer, and soft,
it's amazing.
Yes, does have olive oil in it, but it's not greasy, and it's
yeah,
not,
yeah,
it's just
oh,
yeah,
heaven.
I really think, as an example, a simple product, simple, easy, democratic, inclusive for men and women of all ages, all skin tones, skin colors, should be able to have a product that works and is not
like you need 50 steps or you need this
many
yeah,
steps and categories and boxes of things, and it just make it easy and you can be loyal to something. I've been using this same principle from 1993. I haven't used anything else. And so that's why I decided to do it. And I wanted to include men. I know you guys feel that way,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, definitely.
I wanted to include men. I wanted it to be about all ages. And even soft is approved in the EU for mm-hmm, three-year-olds on up.
Amazing.
So.
Well, your skin is incredible. And obviously
well,
you
thank
use
you,
your line. But
that's all I use, yeah.
But you do acupuncture facials, we've heard.
I do
oh,
that.
Yeah. Tell us about
yes,
that.
Yes. I do work in China. And one visit, I had lunch with them, and I'm looking around the table, and all of a sudden they're all like, they're looking amazing. Their skin's looking great. And I was like, what are you guys doing? Like, you really look good. And it wasn't just that they have Asian skin.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah,
what it is. And they said, well, we're doing acupuncture facelifts. And I said, what the heck is that? And so they explained it to me. And I come back, and that's, I'm obsessed, right? So I call Gordon Chang, and I call all these people, and to find Andrew Weil, who's mm-hmm, the best Chinese acupuncture doctor, get the same name all the time. And so I meet Dr. Yang. He's in southern Jersey, and I drive 2 hours to get there. I'm
wow,
sitting in the waiting room waiting for him to come. And then he comes, hello, come in. And why are you here? And I said, well, I'm here because I want an acupuncture facelift. And he said, well, you're not getting one. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, that's not what acupuncture is about. And I said, it's not? Really? And so he said, no. And he was really angry and annoyed. He's a very serious man. And so I said, well, what do I have to do to get an acupuncture facelift?
Yeah, like, what other?
So I said, I'm willing to learn about acupuncture. So he said, well, what is it you want to know? And I said, well, I want to know why this works and why people have been into it. And so we made a deal that I would go every Thursday at 2 o'clock to South Jersey.
Whoa.
And he would allow me to tape our sessions. And after a few sessions, he then gave me an acupuncture facelift. And we have an open plan office, and I'm sitting in like that far away.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting doing my thing. The next day, nobody knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this person across the room said, you know, you look really good today. And I was like, I do. You know, when you get dressed in the morning, you're not looking at yourself.
Yeah,
it's
totally,
not like you're getting ready to go.
Right.
You're just getting ready
yeah,
to go to work. So I go in the bathroom and I look, I'm like, yeah,
You're like, I do look good today. Just like lifted
So what the effect is that you look like you had a long vacation, the greatest night's sleep of your life. You're refreshed, right? And it actually affects your whole body. It's right. Not just your face.
Because there's meridians all over. That was the point
he was trying to make. That
was like, you're not just going,
you're not cutting off here. There's a whole thing going on.
Right.
And so he also teaches and he does a lot of clinical studies, and he was doing studies at Jefferson Hospital in Philadelphia at the time. And I saw, he told me, you need to come and see what acupuncture does. And he was working on someone with Parkinson's and reduced the tremors in the voice and also the tremors in the hand with acupuncture. Wow. There was a girl in my office who was pregnant and her baby was in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. He gave her treatments with acupuncture. And she called me one night. She said, I'm lying in bed with my husband, and my baby just turned around.
What? Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
So it's really, and when you do acupuncture, it's sort of like you're having this anesthesia or something. Mm. I go right to sleep.
Wow.
Once you get familiar and comfortable with it, the last needle goes in, he turns off the light,
you're out.
And then I'm so annoyed when I get woken up. It's sort of like meditation also, where it clears your head. And right. It's really good.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
olive oil and acupuncture.
Yeah.
Beauty and fashion. Mm. For you, how do they relate? You know, some, like, there's making up models for the runway or for your... Mm. I have to say... Norma does these shoots for her collections that are just... I showed you the website. Everyone has to go on the Norma Kamali website because there's these shoots of these people who are just the most gorgeous people. And it's men, women, every gender wearing her clothes.
Yeah.
And just looking fabulous.
And there are two types of clothing, I think. One is clothing that makes you happy. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at my Instagram, you'll see we just put up the new collection. And when I was doing it, it's a summer collection, I thought people are not happy enough now. If we're not laughing, it's really dangerous. And if we're not feeling spirited, it's really dangerous. So I made happy clothes so that when you put it on, you feel like dancing. You feel happy.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's that side of it. The other is I just did a line of SPF 50 clothes. We need a certain amount of sun, but then cover up. Mm-hmm. But the clothes have to feel good. Yeah. And so they're all bamboo. They're biodegradable. They're luscious. They're luscious. And you have 80 washes for... pure out SPF 50 before it starts to diminish.
Wow.
And so, and I have on the clothes in raised typeface what this jacket is doing for you. So the second part of clothing is, one, makes you happy, makes you feel good, deals with your emotions and your femininity and dressing up. And the other is function. Mm-hmm. This is... technology, function, doing something for you, maybe helping you run faster, do something, but protecting you from the sun is obviously an important function.
Well, it's like the cocoon coat, you know, I feel like so many of your ideas do come from wanting to feel good, which I think is not always the thought. It's, you know, a lot of people approach it from the outside, from the observer almost. Mm-hmm. And it seems like some of your most brilliant ideas come for how does it make the person feel?
That's really important. And also my collection is all washable. There's no dry cleaning. So I work very hard at
it's the worst.
making dry sure cleaning. That we're not, even when it says green cleaning, and I just believe that if you wash it, you're better off. So I purposely find fabrics and make sure I'm working in a way where you are not continuing to pay for a piece of clothing, like you're feeding your pet until it dies.
Right.
But to have something that you can take care of, you can have that travel with, and it functions well, and it's doing a job besides making you feel good.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And yes, I love seeing the clothes on guys. And the thing about seeing clothes, it's a woman's collection, but when you see them on guys, it just blows your mind on how provocative it is to see them.
Back to beauty for a second. A lot of famously chic people like you have beauty uniforms, and you have had this amazing haircut, hairstyle for a while. Is that...
Like the best bangs.
Yeah, it's
and your
just
hair
Google
is like
her.
The shiniest. Yeah, well, everyone should Google her because I'm just like, you have the shiniest hair.
Well,
yeah.
I'm doing a shampoo because...
You're making thing, one.
Yeah,
oh,
because so I really have a definite feeling about...
I would buy your shampoo.
Simple.
Yeah. Your hair looks
no,
amazing.
But just simple. But the And I cut my own bangs. I'm not a high maintenance person. I just like take my little... scissors and I clip away, and I figured if it's not even, it'll grow and it'll be fine. I have to say, I go through periods of time. I had red hair for 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
And that was so much fun.
Uh-huh. But this cut still, right?
No.
It wasn't this cut?
Part of the time, not all of the time. But I was actually thinking maybe it's time to change my hair. Maybe it's time to do something. But I'm not a big changer. I am sort of like, I have my identity and this is what it is. I think that there are things that are timeless. It's not just fashion,
right,
but it's also beauty. And I think now with sustainability, we appreciate things that have more of a life and that we don't turn over.
Simple skincare that's obviously clean and non-toxic, but also just made with these really powerful ingredients. Are there... And then exercise, like, do you think it's the type of exercise or do you think it's the quantity or why? How do you stay vital, you know?
I think you have to move every day. You, like, absolutely have to, no question. And the older you get, the more you have to maintain that. But I think it should start early. I believe in... exercise every day because I think it does a few things. One, for sure, it helps me always have a good night's sleep. Absolutely.
Yeah,
the other is I attribute a lot to mobility, and like if somebody says you seem so much younger than your age or that whatever that is, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm flexible.
Yeah.
I everything's can do a
firing.
Split.
Right.
I can move. I can my body
you feel
knows
good in your
it.
Body.
So I don't feel restricted.
Yeah.
And I think having the ability to be stressed, and this is what a lot of scientists are saying now too about longevity, is if you can stress your body, create stress, and that means trying to do something physically that you weren't, maybe you'll do 50 push-ups
instead of
25, and you do it, you are training your whole body and mind to deal with all kinds of stress.
Right.
And so it's really critical, and it's critical for aging too, to be able to deal with stress. And for young people, stress is a new factor because you were protected by your parents, you had all of these protections, and now you have stress, and like, this is the end of the world. Holy crap.
Yes.
I have stress. This is not what it's all over. It's not going to, it's the end.
Mm-hmm.
But if you train yourself and doing it physically, you can deal with stress like a trooper. You can deal with stress like somebody who's gone through it before. And so I think exercise is a great way to learn how to do that and train yourself.
Do you think you'll be designing for the rest of your life? Do you ever be like, I just want to be on vacation all the time?
I mean, that would be stressful to me. I mean, it's great for certain amount of time, but then it would not be good. I mean, because I'm always thinking of another idea of something else I want to do,
right?
And not to be able to do it would be incredibly stressful.
So it seems like being creative is not even just easy for you, but it's like it's something you have to do.
Yeah, it is
it's
you.
It's just you emoting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And being healthy seems like it is you too.
Well, being healthy allows me to be able to do other things. So I in order to do the dreams I have and to fill these sort of passions, I have to be healthy to make them happen.
Right.
So I really don't have a choice. And I feel good when I'm feeling my best, and everybody does, and you feel like you can do so much more. So you sort of, it's a nice addiction. It's a good thing to get hooked onto. And I love it too. I love the food I eat. I crave it. I don't crave stuff that's crappy. I really don't. I mean, bread is my possible, you know, that could be the thing that could take me down if I let it.
Good
but
bread.
Then whenever I start seeing that I want to have bread, I make nut seed bread, which is the best in the whole world. And I have that recipe, and you have to try it with olive oil on top of that or avocado. It's amazing. And it's so the healthiest bread. And it has psyllium husk powder in it. So you go to the bathroom like crazy.
My God.
What could be better than that?
Can you sell that bread too?
Well, you can make it and you can freeze it. You slice it and then you freeze it. And
you
can take
out. Oh, we got to get
this
recipe.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, no,
we
it's the best. It's the best.
What's your take? Jean and I just gorged on popcorn before coming here out of, I don't know, we were like anxious. We had a lot of work. And you sell popcorn. What's your take on popcorn?
Well, popcorn is like junk food for health. Healthy people, I think.
Okay,
you know,
I'm down with that.
Yeah, and if you're not, and I'm not saying popcorn, you know, that microwave.
No.
I mean, really good popcorn, and then with olive oil, and you can put all kinds of great herbs on it. And so, if you're gonna have, I can't watch a movie without popcorn.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. I can't even go to a movie theater without my own popcorn.
Oh, you bring
shopping
it.
Bags.
Oh.
I swear.
They check at the door now, though.
Well,
you get it
I know my doors, and I know who to see. Like, I have to. I am just obsessed with my popcorn and the movie.
Okay, that was really something.
That was
so
amazing.
Special. Oh, she's just, you got everybody, like everybody listening to this has to Google Norma Kamali if you haven't seen pictures of her. She's just, you can even see in a picture sort of how full of like vitality and energy. And
she's just radiant.
Yeah, she really is. And she's just so in herself in a way.
And so confident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really just want to be like her.
Me too.
It sounds so lame, but it's
true. But I do think I've always felt that way. I remember when I had a baby and my friend was at like a couple months ahead of me and she had a baby, like just seeing that someone else could do it. Or I had a friend, you know, I was in my 30s and she was turning 40 and she was like, super attractive lady.
Yeah.
And so she was like, look, ladies, look at what 40 looks like.
No,
and
at
the time we were like, you know, you things can be scary, and like, you know, certainly, you know, you think be a designer that go out on your own, never let anyone buy you, never let anyone tell you what to do, know what to do every season that resonates with you.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, it's incredible. And I see her and I'm like, if that could be me at 74,
oh my
I would
God.
Be so happy.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be...
And
a
also that
blessing.
Camo jumpsuit she was wearing.
Oh my God. When
is
she
kidding
walked
with
in,
that thing?
Okay.
I feel so frumpy.
For listeners who do not know, Megan O'Neill is the most camo obsessed person that ever lived.
Obsessed. It's just the best pattern.
And so I like Norma Kamali walks in and is wearing a like incredible camo, like a version of camo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a more like
just
a Kamali version of camo.
Like cinched at the waist, kind of gray.
Jumpsuit.
Like not tight.
Yeah.
Like neck showing, like this décolleté showing, which I always think, like I feel so unattractive when mine isn't showing. It's not right now, but you know, it's just like such a pretty part of anyone.
It is a pretty part of it. And I feel like that, when you have this thing that should be sort of boxy and like whatever. And then there's like this, you know, glamorous little you inside. Yeah. It's really cool. Yeah, she was, I was like, the second she walked in, I was like, oh my God, Megan's going to freak out with that camo.
She looked great. And her hair yeah. is like.
Her hair is like really shiny. Like it looks so healthy. Yeah. I'm waiting for that shampoo.
Yeah, I'm excited for that shampoo. We'll probably have olive oil in it.
I would assume it has some olive oil. I'm going to be drinking olive oil. Uh-huh. Like I'm going home and like having olive oil right after this.
She really uses it for everything. The olive oil sex tip.
I'm all for it. Instead of some like crazy toxic, you know, obviously we on Goop, we have a lot of non-toxic lubes and stuff, but like.
The toxics are out there.
The toxics are out there and. All you need is olive oil.
Yeah, turns out all you need is olive oil.
For your skin, for everything. Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to go home and Google her in bed tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
Honestly.
And she was like, she was showing us all those Instagram pictures of her models.
Yeah.
You know, and she uses all these people who like, she loves dancers.
Yeah.
And, oh, I just.
And also I love that she met her soulmate at 65 because, yeah, I think people do think that.
People think there's this progression of your life, you know, that we've seen, like, you know, you're supposed to get married at this age. Yeah. And it certainly changed. I think it used to be like you have to be married before you're, you know, 23.
Oh, my God.
And they think it's going to go in this certain way. And it's different. I remember my mom saying to me, like, have kids early so that then you'll still be young when you're done with them.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I didn't do that. I kind of did the opposite. You know, I waited a long time to have them. And as many people now do. And, you know, it doesn't matter when you do the thing. Like, you're in your life. You're going to do the different things.
Yeah. You don't think it matters?
No. I think, yeah, you could meet your soulmate when you're 25 or when you're 65.
Yeah.
Like, and the fact is you got to meet your soulmate.
Right.
Like, that's,
yeah, you're right.
It's just.
And she's been having fun. She had fun up until then. She wasn't waiting.
Yeah, she wasn't waiting around.
She was living.
Definitely.
It just sounds so obvious, but we go to a different place when we think about our timelines and what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And her timeline just sounds so.
It just sounds like she's alive in it, present.
Yeah,
it sounds so cliche, but being sort of present with whatever is happening rather than
being consumed by what should be happening, which
what
we all
the agenda is.
Happens to me, like happens to all of us.
Definitely. And you kind of think, you always think, oh, well, things are going to be bad at this point.
Yeah.
You know? or they're going to be good at this point. But like, certainly when you're thinking about 65, you aren't like, oh, I'm going to meet my soulmate.
No.
But then, I mean, I know of two friends, like moms and grandmas that are like in the nursing home or not in the nursing home that are in their 90s. And like both of them have two boyfriends, not one.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like, and the, you know.
That like should
my,
be.
My friend's mom is literally in the nursing home.
She's like 90.
Home. Yes. And she's like, I think she's in her late 80s.
Okay.
And she's like, you know, one boyfriend is outside the nursing home and the other one is inside. And she's always like having to like be like, well, I'll go see this one now. So, you know, we're like, oh, that's so cute. But it's also like, you know, yeah, you're still a human being.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
you are. And you can still be sexy and have sex. And
I mean, who knows if they're having, you know,
yeah,
you just don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But just the idea that you're, you know, we don't just have to follow a script.
Yeah.
It like, if Norm Macmillan tells you one thing, it's like, make your own script. It's your life. Like, she, you know, designs everything herself. She's like, oh, I want to do beauty products. Oh, I don't want toxins in them. Oh,
it seems so
she
easy
meets
for
the
her.
Guy at the ball game and like starts making olive oil. Like,
yeah,
I really love this one.
Well, takeaway, psyched to be 74.
Definitely best takeaway.
Yeah. So on the site, I do a column called Megan Tries It and you do one called Ask Jean. And we get a whole bunch of beauty questions.
And we're going to answer them all here right now.
Yes. So should we get into today's Ask Me Anythings? Or maybe ask us anything?
Yes. And if anyone's listening and has a question they want us to answer here, just send it over to Goop on Instagram or Facebook.
It could be about self-tanner, crow's feet, dry shampoo, parabens, our favorite bath soak, non-toxic lube.
Or anything else.
Now to today's question.
Okay. Marissa D. wants to know, do you have any advice for making the bikini area smoother after getting waxed? I have so many ingrown hairs.
Okay, I actually do have something to say about this. So like, usually there isn't one miracle product, right? But I have to say the fur oil, it's like this blend of oils. It has like a jojoba in it and grapeseed.
It's amazing stuff.
Yeah. So it's called fur oil because it's made for like the bikini area and for pubic hair.
Yeah, it's
right?
So cool. So it's got a very Sasha Gray vibe.
It is cool, yeah. But if you use it before you get a bikini wax or before you wax or thread or whatever you're doing,
yeah,
it seriously smooths the area. Like, it's,
you use it before.
You use it before, yeah.
Oh,
and
that's
and
funny.
You can use it like sort of whenever you remember, but just do it before you're gonna get some sort of hair removal treatment.
Because I use from the same company, from Fur Oil, they make a stubble cream.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I use that after, like if something is itching
like
or irritated. No, it's not a scrub, it's a cream.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. And so, and it makes any like itching, any kind of like, like go away instantly.
God, yeah, fur like has it down.
Yeah, they've like taken the essential oils to the next level in this particular area that everyone needs to know every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, fur really helps. And also if you just exfoliate that area with like a clean body wash, like the one from Goop, the Goop body scrub is really nice for exfoliating.
Yeah.
And it just, it helps.
And you feel
you
like
not,
that makes it.
I feel like it helps you not develop ingrown hairs because you're sort of sloughing away all that.
Yeah.
Thanks again for joining us on The Beauty Closet. You can learn more about our new podcast series at goop.com/beautycloset podcast. We hope you'll come back next Wednesday for our next chat. And in the meantime, just tap subscribe to keep up with new episodes. If you're liking what you're hearing, please rate and review the podcast and share it with a friend. Talk soon.